Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what would you do if your requests for ghostly communication were answered? What if you wanted to take that request back? Today, we hear the story of ghostly communication that goes a bit too far.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want all the bonus material that everybody talks about, all the EPP bonus episodes, the episodes of the show that you get as a supporter of us, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. In addition to all the bonus episodes, you also get advanced episodes of the show. We release those weeks before they go to the public, and no commercials in those. So you get it all commercial free, all for $5 a month, all for supporting the show. There's other extras that you get throughout the year as well. So consider supporting the show if you like it, keeping us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories is the other place to do it. Whatever platform you like. One is just our website where you can download everything right there. Other one is the Patreon platform if you prefer that for supporting stuff. And of course, that's, if you're familiar with Patreon, you know how that works. All the stuff right there for you. Very easy. There's an app. It's all there for you to keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's the scurvy coming along?
It's still here, but I'm getting better.
Should we see if it lasts until like March?
It seemed like it did last year.
That's how that shit happens.
Last year, it seemed like I think I was on antibiotics like 5 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I don't think I felt well until like May.
I don't feel... I don't envy you. I was going to say, I don't feel bad for you.
Jerk.
That's not what I'm trying to say.
Okay, thanks.
You're going to hold that over my head now all week, because last week you're like, you don't do anything during the day.
I didn't say that. And you're still getting
it's
shit.
It's a mischaracterization. It's not what you're trying to say is what right. I'm saying. So I wasn't trying to say that.
But
so you can hold that over me.
But you brought it up at breakfast today.
This is fun giving you shit.
I don't feel bad for you.
I don't feel bad for you. So, okay. Trying to say I don't envy you is what I'm trying to say.
No, I know.
Because when I get that, it's the same deal. It's like I know inevitably at some point in the cold months, I'm going to get struck with it. I don't think I've ever had a year where I didn't get a cold over the winter months. And it's usually like when it happens, though, it's there. Mm-hmm. And it does not go away for...
Yeah.
Till spring. So
I'm just hoping I get a window here where I'm not on antibiotics and I'm well enough to get a flu shot, because I had that last year. And then remember that turned into pneumonia for me.
Yeah, that did.
So I'm trying to avoid some of those things that happened last year.
Mm-hmm. I almost got my flu shot today.
Yeah.
But I did not.
You should.
You were waiting in the car, and I'd rather not make you wait in the cold car. I'd rather get the flu. And possibly be hospitalized.
I was warm in the car. You could have taken your 15 minutes to get your flu shot.
But that's how much I care. Then make you wait 5 more minutes in the car.
Now, if you fucking get the flu and give it to me, I'm going to be pissed.
Should have just gotten the fucking flu shot.
Yeah.
No, I plan on... I think I may... I'll go in the next day or two and get it. So.
Okay.
Unless I get the flu before then.
Yeah.
Which is not good. It's. I was noticing... And this is airing in December, so God knows how many more deaths are going to have occurred by then. But you know how you used to get news if you watched the news?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, okay. I'm not going to watch the news for another week or two because I've had enough news. Mm-hmm. Now it's like you get all the little tidbits of news that used to alarm you sent directly to your phone because they know, oh, this will be a story that will alarm them and get them kind of excited. So you get the little bloop and you think, oh, it's a story about Santa Claus or something. And I always hope it's a story about Santa Claus. But it's like, no, it's like 3 more flu deaths in Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit.
I know.
So, but I know, I mean, Not like this is like, oh, great, but I know it does tend to afflict, you know, if you already have an underlying illness or you're older or super young, that's where you have more odds of it hospitalizing you. And that's not a good thing. But I guess we're in the category or categorical area of less likely to be hospitalized or be able to get through it better. Mm-hmm. But still, you don't want to get that shit.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to get that flu shot. I fully believe in the flu shot. I know it's like, it's not ever perfect. There's always the chances where, you know, it doesn't protect against every single strain, but mm-hmm. if I can lower my odds that little bit, I'm going for it.
Well, I think where I screwed up last year was at like, I'm so diligent about getting it that mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's out. I'm going to go get it. And I got mine and I had the girls get theirs. And this is like soon as school started, you know, beginning of September. And then the doctor told me this year, you should really wait until like November 1st. So it covers you through the worst of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I ended up getting the flu in January. And so did the girls.
Yeah. What is this shit that I see now on TV where they have another version of the flu shot for older folks? And the way that they explain it on the commercial in layman's terms is it's up to 4 times stronger than the regular flu shot. Does that mean it's protecting against other strains, or is it the same flu shot, but it just kind of, it's like the premium battery, you know, it's not just the regular Energizer. It's the one that's wrapped in silver and has an extra rabbit on it.
I don't know.
I don't know what that is. Like, why doesn't everybody just get the super duper flu shot?
And you know, that's one of those things, you know, in like a year or two, they're going to say proven to not be any more effective than the regular flu shot.
Yeah. And there's one that comes, it's like laced with Mountain Dew. It's like flu shot super with extra electrolytes.
Well, do you remember when they were giving the kids, because kids don't like to be, you know, given a vaccine, nobody does. But yeah. They were doing the up your nose thing.
Yeah.
And then they were like, that doesn't do anything at all. And they just discontinued it. And I don't know how many years I gave my kids that.
Yeah. But it took forever to be like, that shit didn't work.
Yeah.
It's like, how, what the, I don't get that. Shit that comes into the U.S. market of drugs goes through insane amounts of testing. I mean, there's like millions of dollars put into all of that just to get it cleared. But with it being a flu shot, maybe that's different. Maybe it's a different set of things than like a prescription drug.
Well, the thing is, the flu changes every year.
Yeah.
So they have to try and, you know, cook up a formula that's going to most likely cover this year's strain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they do that. I don't know what the process is, but I just go with the tried and true good old flu shot, because so far I think I've had the flu twice in my life. Thankfully, that's it.
I think it's they created something like MasterChef, where they have like the best home chemists together in a big old chemist. It's like Breaking Bad, but with MasterChef. Okay. And they try and come up with a flu shot for that year.
I bet that's how it is.
Yeah. And then
I'm sure the CDC really appreciates that.
That's how that works.
Okay.
And they cook it up. It's true. I think it's somehow researched. You know, it's not just like spin the wheel.
No.
We're doing this strain this year. Let's see if this works.
No, there's obviously a ton of science that my mind can't even wrap around to how they figure that shit out. I just learned, don't get it too early.
Somebody's going to say, it's a fucking wheel. I work there.
Oh, we're going to get a bunch of mail from people saying, you know, don't get the flu shot. So
I'm going to keep getting the flu shot. You can do whatever you'd like. You should, in my opinion, but it's up to you.
I have asthma, so I have to get the flu shot.
Sure.
And even then, if I don't, then if I get it, I may still get it and get pneumonia. Mm-hmm. So
I just enjoy the Mountain Dew laced one. It gives you a nice little pick me up.
Yeah.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. This says, my name is Charlie. I'm from Michigan, and I'm going to tell you about my aunt's house that's haunted as shit. I'm sorry about how long this is going to be, but I think it's better told in its entirety. First off, most, if not all, of the activity in the house has happened to me. I don't know if I'd call myself a sensitive or not. I just think the ghost really likes to fuck with me. All the experiences I had were over 3 months. First time I noticed anything strange was when my cousin and I were in the attic. She went downstairs to grab something, and I started to see movement in the back corner by the chimney. There was a gray shape that I keep seeing poke out from behind the chimney. It was the shape of a head, but every time I looked up, I wouldn't see it. Well, I started getting a little freaked because I could feel it still watching me. I went downstairs to get my phone to try and get some evidence, and when I came back upstairs, I started recording audio and asking questions, but I didn't get any EVPs yet. Before I left the attic, I asked for it to make a knocking sound if they wanted me to leave, and sure enough, from by the chimney came three clear knocks. I decided to book it down the stairs, but as soon as I got to the bottom of the stairs, my cousin thought it would be funny to slam the door in my face, you know, like an asshole. Well, I hit the door like a linebacker, and it didn't budge at all. I forgot to mention the attic door doesn't latch, so it should have opened. I was panicking, trying to get it open, and I began to hear footsteps coming towards the stairs from above me in the attic. Turns out somehow a loose roofing nail had lodged itself under the door, so when I tried to open the door, the nail had dug into the hardwood floor. There's no way the door could have closed over the nail. The only way that could have happened was if the nail was slid under the door point first after the door closed. I didn't step foot in the attic for about a month after that. A few days later was one of my most memorable experiences. I was home alone watching TV in the living room when behind me and to my left, I heard someone loudly crying on the stairs. It sounded like a woman who was just left at the altar. I got up thinking maybe my cousin or sister snuck in without me realizing it. As I turned the corner to look up the stairs, the crying stopped and no one was there. After that, I decided to get a recorder and to try to get some EVPs. I got one in my aunt's room under her bed that said in a raspy, hurried voice, "Just get it away." And one in the attic that actually spoke over me that said, "They can't see us anymore." I've had doors open on me, sinks turning on, footsteps, hell, even the basement door, which didn't have a handle, shook violently twice in the same day, almost like someone was trying to break in when I was home alone. When these shenanigans would happen, I would tell the ghost to fuck off and wouldn't experience anything for a few days. The final experience I want to share was bizarre. So the night before this happened, my cousins and I were upstairs, and being a little loud, my aunt got mad because she had to work the next morning. Well, she stomped up the stairs, slammed the door at the top of the stairs, stomped down the hall and around the corner to the den, and chewed us out. The next night I was upstairs by myself and I dropped something, and I shit you not, it was like you recorded my aunt stomping the night before we played it back. The door slammed, I followed the sound of the footsteps on the other side of the wall, and when I poked my head out, no one was there. I got up and went to my mom's house at 3 a.m. in a blizzard because I wasn't staying after that. That's my story. I have a few others from a few different places. Thanks for listening.
I think when you ask for something to let you know it's there, and it does, you're screwed from then on.
Just don't ask.
Yeah, just don't ask.
What do you do if you want to know if it's there?
Why don't you? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at this from a non... Maybe I'm looking at this from just the perspective of somebody that's sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. I know it's there.
So you don't need the proof. It's like it's already there. We know you're there.
But maybe if you're not as sensitive and you want proof and you ask for it,
mm-hmm.
that's when you get it and you really wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've never been in the situation where I needed proof.
Yeah. You're just okay. You're not okay that it's there, but you know it's there.
I know it's there, and then I, you know, I act accordingly.
Then you quickly take the item back and put it in the booth, and you don't buy it at the antique store.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Put something back?
That you thought you looked at from a distance, you saw it. I really want to break in from a distance from Bette Midler right now. But you saw it from a distance, and you decided that, oh, this is great. I want to go check it out. And then you picked it up, and you realized it was haunted as shit.
I don't think I would have touched it.
You can tell from that far away, you have to be close to it.
No, if I get a vibe off something, if I see it, mm-hmm. I can get a vibe off of it.
Just by seeing it? It can be like in the other room?
Well, if I can see it, then I'm close enough to tell.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's kind of like...
it's not like 3 rows away. I know there's something 3 rows over that's ominous.
Okay.
I have to see it and then like, oh, I don't like that.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if it was like one of those where it's like, you know, it's like a sound, like a little radio. The analogy I always make, like it's playing a little bit, but you got to be really close to hear it. And if you're on that side of the building, but you can see it, you don't hear it yet. But the closer you get to it, the stronger it gets, is kind of what I'm asking.
No, that's not exactly how it works for me. But there are times where if something is there, it's like, when you walk into a room and you can tell the TV's on, you get that kind of high-pitched noise in your head.
Yeah.
I get that.
I miss that.
I still get that. It's like almost like a ringing in my ears that happens.
Okay. That's a good analogy. I can understand that. And for those of you playing along at home, prior to all digital televisions.
Oh, yeah.
Back, because a lot of people have no clue what the fuck you're talking about. Televisions used to give off a very high-pitched, high-frequency sound when they were on. And sometimes it would take a minute for them to really warm up, literally. There were tubes, and then the picture would come on. And there were times where you could have your TV on, like if it was hooked up to a VCR or something. And let's say there was nothing feeding through the VCR, and it was just like, you're just getting the blue screen or nothing. And there's no sound coming. You could be in another room or a remote area of the house where you could be close enough to it to hear this frequency, and you could tell a TV was on, and you could walk around going, somebody left the TV on, and you just know it. Yeah. And there's no like loud noise. It's not like a, or it's just there.
It's like when your ear pops and you hear that ringing for a second. That's exactly what it sounds like.
And it's especially obvious, like when it turns on or when it turns off, it just, that frequency goes away or it doesn't, it's not there. And you're not going to pick it up like on a, I suppose if you, there's some wave file it would show up on of the frequency level, but
I guess essentially that's what ghosts sound like to me.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's a great way of explaining it. Go buy an old TV, everybody, off of Craigslist and experience the magic of the sound of a television for yourself. It's like something we saw the other night. We're watching Goliath on Amazon, and they were asking, it was at a campaign office, and some teenager, do you know how to use a phone?
A landline.
Cause most people, a lot of people your age don't know how to use a landline. I don't know. I mean, our kids know how to use a phone, like a iPhone. I would think that in concept, they would know how to use a landline, wouldn't they?
I would think so. But I mean, it's kind of like when we were kids, I was confused by the idea of a rotary phone.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess we had one, so I didn't.
Oh, I didn't. I think my grandparents did.
Okay.
But it was like, if you screw up one number, you got to start all the way over.
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah. We had a rotary. It was a handset rotary. Like it looked like you should pick it up and be able to press buttons, but I think it was probably like $2 cheaper. So they went with the rotary option. And I remember picking that up and, you know, trying to dial on it. And I remember getting pissed because we got to the day and age then in the late 80s, early 90s, where when you called customer service for something, you know, press a button on your touch tone phone. Uh-huh. Or they would then say, or if you have a rotary phone, stay on the line. Uh-huh. That doesn't exist anymore. Now it's like, you better have touchdown or you're fucked. And that just hangs up on you.
Or you say it out loud, no.
Which never works either. A new thing in customer service that is a nightmare, I've noticed. They don't want to have you talk to the human beings, which is usually not the greatest to begin with. Now I've noticed they're going to texting. Not chat support, but texting support. So basically chatting, but they'll text you. And I had that experience last week with our cable company.
And you've been having so much fun with that.
I had 8 calls into the cable company for the same issue. And every time they fucked it up. And then I did text support one day. It took an hour just to get one simple thought across. So 100 times more inefficient than the people I was talking to that can't do their job correctly. I bitched about that for a while in Office Horror Stories the other day.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear that nightmare, check out Office Horror Stories when it's available on the wherever you download podcasts. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, first off, I love your podcast. I listen every day. And a second, I'm sorry because this is going to be long. Well, to start off at the house where it all first began, when I lived in a trailer park, I was walking down to my friend's house one day when I heard a banging sound. I looked around and saw a boy around the age of 7. He had brown hair and he ran as soon as I saw him. I ran after him and he disappeared behind a trailer. I followed, but he was nowhere to be seen. He wasn't one of the kids that lived there that I knew. I knew a lot of them. He wasn't one of them. I asked my friends if they knew him and if someone knew it moved in. No one had. No one knew who I was talking about. Well, that event started all the others that followed to 4 more houses. The 3rd house I moved to after the events had the most activity, along with the constantly disappearing items always found in odd places and always appearing after we needed them. One night I tried putting a small mirror up on my wall above my dresser. I was about 12 and it slipped and shattered. And under my arm, there was a face from just above the nose up of a small brown-haired boy. I dropped the mirror, turned around, and no one was there. Another thing that happened at this house, not involving the small boy, was scary as shit. On my 13th birthday, I had 3 friends over. We hung out in the garage. We heard a girl scream, a very scared scream. Living on a busy road, we ran out. Me and one friend looked at the road. The other two looked at the vacant house next door. In the sliding glass door, they saw a small girl and a dark figure standing behind her. Then that night, we wanted to talk to the girl. Well, we got too scared at the house and tried to contact her in my garage. Horrible idea. I started getting this bad feeling like something with evil, strong energy was coming closer. That feeling got so unbearable to me, one of my friends ran in the house, hyperventilating, crying and shaking, curled up together in front of my fridge, not being able to move. They were so scared. I still get chills and goosebumps talking about it. Anyway, back to the little boy. The next house we moved to is our current. Things still get hidden, but we've also heard footsteps and doors opening. A few incidents, for example. One, I was home alone and heard loud steps upstairs, and it continued for about 5 minutes before I got freaked out and sat outside till someone got home to my brother's room and was lying down. We heard footsteps coming up the stairs and saw a shadow of someone standing in front of the door. He just thought my brother was home. Then they left and heard them walking downstairs. Later, my brother walked in and he asked him where he went. He had just gotten home from work. They were smoking in my room. We weren't allowed to, so the window was open and the door shut. The door came open and I just figured it wasn't shut tight enough and the wind opened it. So I got up, shut it, pulled on it, made sure it was shut tight. As soon as I sat down, we both watched the door. The knob turned and it opened. Being mad at this point, I got up to kick the door shut and yelled to stay the hell out. My door hasn't opened since. Me and my grandma, the one who always told me ghost stories, aren't really talking that much. I'd love to share with her these events of these ghosts that are happening around our home.
So this is actively still going on.
It sounds like it. Yeah. Well.
I hate it when whatever the main entity is tends to use little kids or the ghost of little kids or the image of a little kid to get you hooked, mm-hmm. you know, because it sounds like there was a little boy and a little girl involved in this. And I just have a feeling that neither one of those are really there, that it's something else.
And that's just what it's taking on to project innocence and to, it's almost to gain trust, really.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that seems to be. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Okay, so this story starts out when I was 10 years old. I was on a family vacation to go visit my grandma in Mexico with my dad and my 2 brothers. And along the way, we ended up staying at my grandma's house on my mom's side. And this house is really old and it's pretty big. It's 3 stories tall. And you can't really hear people because the walls are so thick. So it's all made out of concrete and all that. It's pretty old, Mexican style house. And we stayed there for the night because my dad couldn't drive all the way through. So we were hanging out, you know, talking, family stuff. But then it was time to go to bed. So the house is big enough that you could just choose whichever room you wanted to stay in. And for some reason, I chose to stay in the last room on the top floor all the way down the hall. So it would have been on the south side. And total, this house has about 15 rooms. So it's pretty big. And each floor has its own living room and kitchen. So I go to bed. I'm laying in bed. And I see this shadow walk into my room. And I was just like, what the heck, you know? 10 years old, not really expecting anybody. So I kind of sit up, and there's a little bit of moonlight coming in through the window that I've cracked open. And I could see it has, like, the silhouette of my grandma. And then she goes, it's okay, go back to bed. So I did, and I could hear her open the closet door. And then I jumped off into sleep. So the following morning, I asked my grandma what she was doing in the closet. And she replied, what do you mean? You know I can't walk up there. That wasn't me. What are you talking about? And the reason she can't walk up there is because she has a bad hip. And to get to the third floor, it's just too much strain on her hip. And so she'd rather just stay on the first floor. And I figured, all right, maybe something, whatever. Maybe I was just dreaming. Fast forward 6 or 7 years, I never even told my family about it because I just played it off. Life went on, you know. 10 years old, a lot of stuff is changing. You don't really think about a ghost. So 6 or 7 years goes by, and I'm sitting around talking to my mom. And for some reason, I have this feeling that I should tell her what happened in the house to me. So I did. And I'll never forget, she dropped her silverware from her hand because she was eating at the time when I was telling her. And she goes, are you serious? Because she used to live in that house with all her siblings. And she has about seven or eight brothers and sisters. So probably like 5 brothers and 7 or 3 sisters. So 9 total, including her. And everybody in that house has experienced something or felt something. And the only one that denies it is my grandma, you know, being so old and stubborn. She doesn't really believe, I guess. And so I asked my mom what she saw once. She said that she could feel somebody always walking behind her whenever she was going to her room. And it would get so bad that she would have to sleep in the living room on the first floor rather than go up to her room because it was just so either cold or it felt like somebody was there with her. And I would like to go back to that house. It's been a while. So, you know, maybe do some more investigating. Not that I'm a ghost investigator or any of that. But I just thought I'd call in and share my story. It's the only time in my life where something paranormal has happened. And there hasn't been an explanation, you know. Oh, and I almost forgot. When I went to, you know, at the time when I was talking to my grandma the next day, I went back up to my room and opened the closet to see what she was doing. And the closet was completely stuffed with bags full of clothes or whatever. Just miscellaneous random stuff that was left behind whenever kids moved out. And so there was no way she could have walked in like I saw her walk in, you know. So it was just ridiculous. Anyway, I hope to hear my story online or on your show in the future. But if not, I enjoy your episode very much. Thank you for listening. Bye.
I think it's interesting that it sounds like everybody in the house except for the grandmother believes in what's going on,
mm-hmm.
but it's taking on the grandmother's form and using her voice and everything. It's like, what is that? Is that trying to tempt her into believing or just mess with her?
I wonder if the grandmother knows more than she's telling.
You think so?
I think that could be a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it's almost, you know, kind of doppelganger-ish to a certain extent. I don't know. I mean, it gets very confusing when you have things like that going on, and then you start to wonder, is this a ghost? Is this something darker that's there taking on? I mean, you're taking on the form of a living person,
right?
That gets a little more weird, mm-hmm. and the possibilities of what it is, I think, opens up that gate a little bit wider than it otherwise would be. I don't like to jump down the demon road super quick, but sometimes there's just signs where it's like, that's not your average local neighborhood ghost. Mm-hmm. Something else going on. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. That's going to wrap up the show for today. If you like us, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com, or you can go to patreon.com/realghoststories, get all the bonus episodes and advanced episodes commercial free weeks before they go public. Check it out. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.